Hey, Fidelity, how can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
You guys know Sierra got married last year. It's a lot of work.
Oh boy, was it.
It's a lot to do. And one thing that really helped her figure out what to do first, where to access certain resources, how to get people to know where they were supposed to go for a wedding, Zola.
With Zola, you can discover venues and find vendors easily. You can message and book vendors right on their website. And truly, when I say that that was the first part that we had to do and also one of the most intimidating and hardest, it's so nice to just have them all listed right there and be able to talk to them right there and then.
They also have free planning tools, which is really helpful because you don't know what you don't know. And if when you go to Zola, you have a guest list manager, wedding website templates, a budgeting tool, because dang, can a wedding get out of hand real quick.
Mm-hmm.
It could all eliminate so much stress and you'll save so much time, all because it's like a one-stop shop.
That's so true. With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake.
Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually enjoyable.
There's even a five-star app that helps you plan on the go or on your couch.
Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Hey guys,
I'm Jerry.
I'm Sierra.
We're ladies.
And we tangent.
What's up, everyone?
Hello. And hello to our guest.
We have a very exciting guest. You guys have been asking for him to come on for a very, very long time. And I am excited to introduce you guys to Reginald Lewis, the soul teacher, celebrity psychic medium, spiritual life coach, and healer.
Ooh.
Also known as my friend Reggie.
Hi, Reggie.
Hey, guys. Hey, ladies. How you doing?
Good. So good. How are you? So good.
Awesome. I'm excited to be here. Like, I've actually been waiting on this for a while, you know, and now that I'm here, I'm like, this is so cool.
Yeah, thanks.
I wanted to say, I think it was like, what, our second episode that you mentioned him?
It
was very early days. So, like, you've been in and out of the podcast for a while now. Whether you knew it or not.
Yeah. I also like that the area that you're in, is this your office?
Yeah. So this is actually my study slash meditation room.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. It's very calming.
It kind of mirrors the vibe that we have here.
Yeah.
Ours just is like if every page chaotic from your books like ended up on the wall.
Yeah, you can't do that to my books. I love my books so much. They're like my pets. They're like my plants. Plants and books. Those are my addictions.
I love it.
Yeah, well, we
if
know
I didn't
how
kill
I
plants,
books.
I would love them. I want to love them. It's like I want to love them from afar. But then as soon as I get one, my ADHD is like, I'm not going to remember to water that. So no. Now I just have to look at other people's pretty plants and have fake ones.
That's so funny.
So we hopped on our Patreon and actually gave them a heads up that you were coming on.
Ooh,
and they sent in questions for us to ask you. And I am thrilled to hear some of the answers to these because for those of you who are new or aren't familiar for some reason, Reggie and I met at college. You lived on the same floor as Shane and I and just happened to pop in one day to the lounge where everyone was hanging out. And then you like disappeared. It was like that one year and then I never saw you again.
Yeah, I remember that. It's so funny. And it's just kind of like a bit like nostalgic, kind of like going back and thinking about that. Because it's almost like I can remember it like yesterday. Like those college days are like the best days, honestly. Like, I mean, there was like a day that wasn't like good, but it's like overall, I think it was like so like monumental, you know?
Yes.
Like extremely. And I actually remember when I first moved into the dorms that I forgot the name of the dorms that we lived in.
Verder.
Yeah. Oh my God. Well, yep. I remember we moved in there and we were co-ed, ladies on the other end, men on the other end. And I remember you guys start having gatherings. And, you know, at this time, I was still kind of like, there were some people who knew about my abilities and gifts, but I wasn't really like outspoken about it. I didn't really like share it. And I was just at a point kind of like in my life where it's like, it is what it is. It's who I am. You know, I just have to get comfortable with just sharing it with people because some way, somehow people are going to find out anyway.
Right. Because you weren't at Kent for that. You were at Kent for what?
I was going to ask.
What was your major at that time?
Yeah, funny enough. Yeah, the beginning of my journey, my life path, trying to find my purpose. I went to Kent for electronic media production and a minor writing.
Okay.
Yeah. And people might ask, like, why? Like, some people might ask, like, why did I wanted to go in that direction? And the reason was because I always knew, like, I had a purpose to sort of influence people or wanting to make an impact through, like, media in some way. But I've always been, like, I'm more an introverted person, so I'm more a behind-the-scenes person, and I have a gift in writing. I knew I already had a gift in writing. So I was like, well, why not go into media production and minor writing, because I can learn how to write scripts and things of that nature. And I could, like, you know, get into the film industry, work my way up, become a producer, a director, a writer, and kind of like spiritually influence the media in that way. So that was like my whole idea, like back in the day, in the beginning of the journey. But obviously the universe, God had like a whole another plan.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you were trying to go in the back door to influence people and they were like, nope.
Straight to the front.
Different path. It's very interesting that you say that you're more introverted, because you just walked into a room full of like 15 people who had spent every single day together. And you're like, hey, I see you guys in here all the time. Just want to introduce myself. I would have never. I would have been like, that's their room.
That's my nightmare.
I won't go there.
Well, I think at that time, like that was a time where, like I said, I was getting more comfortable with, you know, kind of getting out of my shell more.
Yeah.
You know, and sharing, because it's already enough already having this ability and having this gift, but then like holding it in.
Yeah.
And it's like it's like this elephant that's in the room, even though nobody else may not know.
Yeah.
It's like, it's there. And I'm like, okay, I know people are going to like be like, who is this guy? Because they pick up on my energy. You know, that's always been a thing. And like, what does this guy do? Like, so, and I knew the conversation was going to come up. So I basically was kind of like pushing myself, getting outside of my comfort zone. And of course, like you said, I would see you guys always hanging out in the lobby and stuff. So I was like, you know what? Let me just get acquainted with the people in my dorm. Why not? You know, they seem like really great people, like a big family. Let me just go in here and introduce myself. And so that's what made me do it. Cause I was just like, I need to, you know, I can't just walk in and out of here and just like, be like this, like, you know, excommunicated person, you know.
Yeah. And then everyone put you to work the second. So Reggie then kind of gave me an impromptu reading, and that was, I've always believed in mediums or something beyond.
Yeah.
And I've had personal experiences, as you know, and so it was like a no-brainer to be like, hey man, you say you have this ability, can you help me figure out what's happening? And because of how on you were about everything, stuff that no one else could have possibly known, it was like people were then lining up to be like, to your room.
Wait a minute. Me next.
Yes.
You know, like I said, you know, it's funny. It's like, even though I've always kind of like kept it to myself, some way, somehow, and that's how I knew it was my purpose, my calling, people would just find out. Like, people would always come up to me, like, you know, just share like their life or just feel like I had something to share or to give to them.
Yep.
And I just came to this recognition that, okay, there's something about me that's attracting these people, you know?
Yeah.
And I had to get comfortable with embracing that. So I said, why not embrace it? Why hold it back? Obviously, I'm not meant to hold it back. And, you know, the funny thing that really got me into really opening up and actually begin to even start doing readings or read people is in my art class. Taking an art class, you know, artsy people are just very open-minded, you know, very relaxed and chilled. And somehow the conversation came up one day about someone who was like a reader or they had tarot cards or something like that. Like that topic came up.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's cool. That's pretty cool. You know, we hear this whole conversation. Then we start talking about psychic experiences, experiences people have and deja vu and premonitions. And I'm like, this is right up my alley. So I was so comfortable with the conversation, you know, like I completely opened up and they were like, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. You know, like, and then, you know, I end up doing readings and then, you know, it's like, once it gets started, that fire start is just like, it's a wildfire, you know, it's like, it just spread so quickly.
Yep.
I love that.
Well, that was one of the questions. It was asked by so many people was, when did you first kind of realize that you had these abilities? And correct me if I'm wrong. I thought you had told me that it like was something that ran in your family.
Yes, that's correct. So for me, it is hereditary. I've learned just from my research and from my personal experience that it could be hereditary or it could just be random.
Yeah.
For me, in my situation, it is hereditary. It's just like someone who have artists in their family, artistic people, or people who have lawyers in their family, or whatever other gifts or abilities that are passed down from generation to generation. For me, the interesting thing is not just one side, it's all my, so this is all on my maternal side. So meaning it's on my grandmother and my grandfather's side, on my paternal side, which is very fascinating.
Yeah.
That I have people that are very gifted and spiritual and, you know, they're healers, prophets, you know, there's different names for it, but they basically have this ability and gift.
Yeah.
So I felt that at a very young age, you know, for me growing up, it was normal. It wasn't like a taboo thing because the family that I was in, once again, they had these gifts and these abilities and they understood it. And yes, they were religious. They, you know, come from Catholic background, but there was never a discrepancy. There was never a conflict between like religion and the spirituality and knowing where these gifts and abilities came from. So growing up, you know, all my aunts, my uncles, they all had experiences. Every house that they grew up in was haunted, you know? So I grew up with like 100 like ghost stories. And I was so scared growing up because I'm like, please God, please don't let no dead people pop up at the end of my bed. I don't want to see no ghosts. I don't want to see cabinets and doors opening and shutting. Like I was just praying to God, like God, you know, so yeah, but thank God I didn't have those experiences. They kind of unfolded for me in a way that I was able to embrace. I mean, there were some scary moments, of course, because it's not understanding. That's natural.
Being
right.
And scared of the unknown. But overall, it was a natural thing for me to kind of embrace it, having people around me who I already saw had the abilities and gifts. And also, it was just kind of like, they didn't use the term psychics and mediums.
Yeah.
And I thought that was very fascinating. Like, I never heard the word psychic or medium. They always just used like regular terms, like, oh, just I had this dream, you know, so and so. There wasn't really these like metaphysical paranormal terminologies growing up. You know, I didn't learn that until middle school when I got curious and I had the ability to go and research and find the truth for myself. And then start to read about all these things and say, oh, that's what I am. I'm a clairvoyant. You know, this is deja vu or this is a premonition, you know? So,
That's well, very cool.
You had touched on your family being religious. Someone had asked, let me see if I can find the exact wording of the question, but it had to do with that. This is from Madison. Madison says, what are your thoughts on religious beliefs, having such a strong connection to the beyond? This is kind of a big question, but is there one religion that you believe is correct? I feel like this is a very loaded question based on your work, or is it a bit more ambiguous than that? I feel like that kind of goes into what you were saying with your family did have a religious belief, like a specific one, but is it something that's like limited or is it more ambiguous?
So for me, let me just start with the environment that I grew up in, the environment, you know, the beliefs and things people already had, you know, such as my grandparents. So I'm Black and Puerto Rican, African American, Puerto Rican. So most on both sides, Catholic, mostly Catholic tradition. They grew up in the Catholic tradition. And so it's interesting because my grandmother would always talk about growing up in the Catholic Church and raising questions, asking questions, and she would always get, you know, kind of reprimanded for asking questions.
Yep.
Because she kind of taught don't ask questions. You just listen and, you know, that kind of thing. Yep. And she would always get in trouble for that. But then, you know, when she went home, it was kind of like her mom encouraged her to ask questions.
Yeah.
You know? And she would even go to the school and even address it with, you know, the nun or, yeah. you know, whoever, you know.
So she went to a Catholic school as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're, oh, wow.
My grandparents yeah. also went to a Catholic school. That is intense.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait. Time out.
Oh, yeah.
Let's check and see if we have any sponsors.
Do you think seeing a therapist or psychiatrist would be helpful, but you don't have the time to actually find one and meet with them or afford them?
Try Talkspace.
By doing everything online, Talkspace has made getting the help you want easy, accessible, and affordable. Honestly, a lot of times you make that appointment at your appointment you already have. I don't know when I'm going to schedule my breakdown. I don't know when I'm going to need to talk to somebody. And with Talkspace, it's so nice because you can send messages to your therapist so you don't have to wait for your next session.
Talkspace therapists can help with any specific challenges that you might be facing. And it's the number one online therapy platform with licensed therapists in over 40 specialties, including anxiety, depression, substance abuse, relationship issues, so much more.
Plus, therapy can help you find the tools to cope in difficult times and just be a guiding light. So like maybe you're not going through something really intense, but you just have like, I don't know, a work issue or something going on with a friend of yours that you just need an outsider's perspective. And Talkspace is amazing for that.
They also are in network with most major insurers. So check in on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you got it.
Plus, as a listener of this podcast, you'll get $80 off of your first month with Talkspace when you go to Talkspace.com/tangents and enter promo code SPACE80.
To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com/tangents and enter promo code SPACE80 to get $80 off your first month and show your support for the show.
That's Talkspace.com/tangents, promo code SPACE80.
Are you one of those people who thinks that they don't have time to prioritize themselves and their wellness?
Yes, that's me 100%.
Well, Allo Moves is here to change that whole mindset.
And listen, it literally has. The app makes it easy to keep your wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place. So yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, self-care tips, healthy recipes, so, so much more. It's amazing.
Whether you are a beginner or you're more advanced, they have all different kinds of classes so you can show up at whatever level you're at and not feel bad about yourself when it maybe is too hard.
Truly. And honestly, I did beginner's yoga and it was way too hard for me. Crazy that beginner's yoga was, but I was just not flexible at all. So I realized that Allo Moves had stretching classes, flexibility courses you could take. And that has helped me so, so much in like getting to where I feel like I'm finally strong enough and flexible enough to do the beginning yoga classes.
Did you know that breathing is also a big thing in working out?
Breath work is important.
Freaking instructors will be like, and breathe. And I'm like, whenever they tell me that, I forget how to breathe. But thankfully, you can also find classes for stress relief, meditations, affirmations, stuff that's going to help you when an instructor is telling you to freaking breathe.
And I'll tell you what, sometimes after a really intense workout, my body and my mind maybe might be feeling a little stressed. So it's nice to afterwards take a mindfulness class and be able to reflect on like, how do I feel? I know my body's going through it right now, but like, was it all worth it?
Was it worth it? Let me work it.
And I do every time. It's amazing.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves.
Go to allomoves.com now and use code TANGENTS20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code TANGENTS20.
Allomoves.com, code TANGENTS20.
And it's funny because my grandmother, you know, is a devout, you know, Catholic person, meaning, you know, she would always have her books, her Bible, her son books, you know, all of her novenas and stuff. So all of that, her Mother Mary statue, you know, she was very much so in the Bible and in the Word. Yeah. But also I think because she was brought up in a way that you don't put your faith in man, you put your faith in God. Mm-hmm. That's the difference. So the focus one put on what this man is saying, the focus was built more on what relationship do you feel that you have with God? This is just the foundation. The religion is just the foundation, you know?
Yep.
But the rest of it was more so, it's your journey. Okay. Yeah. And the only thing that was emphasized in my family was, as long as you have a relationship with God or that higher power, that's all that matters. It doesn't matter if it's a different religion, you know, or your own spiritual way, as long as you have that personal connection. So relationship was emphasized over religion. It wasn't about religion and the organization of religion. It was about the relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
I do too.
Because I think a lot of times when it comes to spirituality and kind of anything that has to do with the quote unquote paranormal, I feel like, especially being raised in Catholicism myself too, it was like, no, that's the devil's work. You don't speak about that. You don't engage with that. And so it's almost like the two were never supposed to overlap.
Be together, yeah.
And so I think that it gets confusing for people. I know my mom, when I was growing up, it was almost like, we don't talk about mediums. We don't talk about that because that is, or even like seeing ghosts or...
Same with me. I wasn't even Catholic, but just like a normal Christian church. Yeah. Just like... not really any specific brand, but they did the same thing, kind of like, no, we don't talk about that. And I was like, oh, okay.
I wonder what the fear is with letting them overlap.
I think that's fascinating. Honestly, I think that's really fascinating hearing other people's experiences because mine is so different.
And
that, you know, I grew up and none of it was ever a discrepancy. And I think that's another thing too is, my grandmother went to church and everything, but it wasn't kind of like, you need to, we wasn't forced to go to church. You know, she was like, read your Bible, that kind of thing. But once again, it was more of about a personal connection. So it wasn't like you needed to go to church. You know, most of the time, my grandmother, you know, she was always in her kitchen at her kitchen table with her Bible and everything. We sit there and read her Bible. So it was almost like, you know, God is wherever you are. It wasn't necessarily like God is like just in this building, you know? And that's what kind of made the difference for me and kind of helped me to kind of understand it where I didn't have conflict. Like most people who grew up in religion and have these spiritual experiences, or paranormal experiences that, you know, religion don't teach you about or tell you about other than just, you know, biblical stories and all of those, you know, experiences. And I think that's another funny thing is in the Bible, it talks about angels, you know, and talks about spirits. And so it's kind of like what makes it different today?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I feel like it would probably be pretty comforting to read that other people, for as long as there's been people recording things happening, that they've been experiencing what you or your family have experienced.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So one of the questions is, how do you turn it off? How can you turn it off? How do you make sure that you keep yourself spiritually well and sane, I guess, when you do have an ability that kind of leaves you open to a whole nother world?
A lot of people ask me that question. That's a very common question too. I learned at a very early age, say probably my teenager years, especially at the time where I was in puberty. And I think with anybody, male or female, when you're in puberty, everything is heightened.
You know? Yeah.
Yep.
You know, everything, emotions, you know, you're just going through these transitions. And so that included even my ability was heightened. And there were times where I did not want to feel what I was feeling or seeing or picking up on other people's feelings and emotions. And it was overwhelming, you know, and I wanted to shut it off. And I realized like there was no shut off button. But what I realized is that there's a volume button for me. And what I learned is, no, I can't shut it off, but I can sort of tune it out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got it.
Because it is who I am, you know. It's not like something that, you know, I could just put on and take off. You know, it's in me, it's integrated in my being, you know? So for me, I just learned that it's more about where I focus my attention, you know? And I think that's why meditation and prayer is a very good foundational spiritual practice for anybody, no matter what your spiritual beliefs or practices are in life, because it brings a certain sense of groundedness and discipline that helps you to have that focus that you need in life and to navigate in whatever way, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically. And that's what helped me. I actually begin meditation at the age of 13.
Oh, wow.
And it was a very spontaneous thing. No one ever taught me about meditation. I never read about it before. It was just something that I just started to do naturally. It was kind of like something instinctively where I start being by myself a lot and I would just sit in quiet and sit in silence and just sit in that peace. And as I did my studies and I learned more about spirituality and different spiritual disciplines, I learned about meditation. And I said, wow, I've been doing meditation, you know, my whole life.
So, check this out.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a spiritual thing that kind of, I just kind of did it. And, you know, I've been doing that ever since then. You know, I always say meditation is my medication because that's what helps to keep me grounded and from being overwhelmed. You know, that's what helps to kind of keep my mind strong, you know, to keep my mental peace, mental stability.
I was wondering if, like in situations like this, or whenever you're in a crowd of people, how you would tune things out, or if like you have just like our grandma turned down in the background or something, because if like you can't turn it off, you can only turn it down. Is it like something where you're like, not now, not now?
That's part of it. That's part of it. Like, not now. Like, I do not want to, like, I don't have time. I don't want to talk to no dead people. I don't want to be picking up on people's like feelings and emotions, knowing their personal stuff, you know, what they're going through. It's just kind of like, I just had to learn that. And like I said, meditation taught me that, because it taught me that you're in control of your mind. You're in control of your energy. That. And that was like the most beautiful thing, especially when I started learning about Buddhism, you know. And, you know, Buddhism is all about that. Buddhism is all about discipline and self-control, you know, control over the mind, the body, you know, and realizing that you are in control of yourself. Nothing outside of you is in control of you.
Right.
And so I learned those concepts, you know, it was kind of like, wow, this is amazing. Something really clicked that kind of really amplified my control of my abilities and my gifts. It took me to a whole nother level.
Okay,
I don't have to be overwhelmed by this. You know, I don't have to kind of succumb to other energies, because it's not about the other energies. It's about me being aware of myself. And, you know, saying knowledge is power, that's very true. The more knowledge you have of something, the more power and control you have over it. And so having that self-knowledge, being self-aware, knowing thyself, gave me more control of myself and my mind and my energy, and saying, you know, okay, I can tune this out. I don't have to let this impinge upon my personal space. Just focus somewhere else.
See, and I think that for some people, meditation might be really intimidating, because
you're talking to me.
Same. Shane and I have tried it before. And there was, I will say, I had, I would say, a successful meditation. One time we had like a guided thing that was going on the TV, and we both just sat next to each other, and it was even like encouraging us to visualize something. And I cried. I remember crying during it, because I remember them encouraging me to walk up this set of stairs and look down and see how far I've come. And like, it was so overwhelming to realize that I could guide my mind in that way. But I think it could be intimidating for someone who doesn't feel like they're in control of their own mind, or can't feel like they can quiet stuff down.
Oh my God. Yeah. My mind is chaotic 24/7. So I'm just like, shh, all the time. But then it's like, no. We've got 40 voices in here and they're all going at the same time.
And I'm sure it's something that you have to like practice a
lot. Yeah. It's a practice. That's what I say. It's a practice. It's a daily thing. It's a lifestyle. You know, that's what I've learned for me. It's become a lifestyle. You know, like I meditate every day, you know, if I have the time, you know, sometimes I can meditate to an hour. Sometimes I meditate, you know, 10, 15 minutes, whatever time that I have. You don't need a lot of time to meditate. And it's what I teach people. And I, from once again, from my experience, because I'm a very simple person. I don't like complicated stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not that, you know, I have a saying, keep it simple and spiritual. That's how I do with myself. You know, I don't like all this complicated stuff. Things are difficult, hard, you know, you just have to do a lot of stuff. And so what I've learned is, for me, meditation is just about focus. I think a lot of people have a misconception, first of all, what meditation is.
Yeah.
Based on what they see on TV and things of that nature. And you think, you know, you have to sit, you know, sit in a lotus position and you close your eyes, you know, and clear your mind. No, it's actually one type or form of meditation. Modality of meditation called silent meditation. There's all types of meditation. There's transcendental meditation. There's passive meditation. There's active meditation. People don't realize, you know, you can be meditating when you're washing dishes, you know, or you're washing clothes. You could be meditating when you're walking. You know, those are forms of active meditation, because all meditation is a shift of the mind where you're focusing, where your mind is focused on one thing and it's not scattered. It's not like the monkey jumping all over the place. That's all meditation is. It's just the focused state.
Yeah. See, I think that I may be confusing dissociation and meditation.
Yeah.
I think because I find myself
like blanking out.
Yeah, checking out a lot. But I'm not in control of it oftentimes. It's almost like I'll catch my dad doing it. Uh-huh. I caught Ollie doing it
my
the
dad
other time.
Does it too.
They just stare off into space and I'm like, where are you?
Yeah.
Where are you right now in the world?
You Where'd you go? Come back.
So I'm like, are you meditating or is that you dissociating?
Your brain is just like, I need to check out for like, give me 5-10. I'll be right back.
Yeah.
The focus part I think would be difficult for me, but I want to try it and see if I could do it.
It's easy. It really, you just have to find what works for you.
Yeah.
You have to find what works for you. Because I always tell people, especially my clients or anybody I'm doing coaching work with, always say, okay, everyone is different. We all have different ways of perceiving, ways that we sense, ways that we learn, different styles that we take in information and that we interact in our environment. So for instance, someone may be like an artist, very artistic. So that means that they're very visual naturally.
Yeah.
And so like you mentioned earlier, like a visual meditation where someone is guiding you and telling you, picture this, you know, you're walking through a forest and you're looking at large trees and green, luscious, you know, grass, and there's a butterfly, yellow butterfly. And you start to that's easy for you because if you're a visual person to
I was right there.
The
yep. Yeah.
You know? And then there are people who just they can kind of go more so and they're active people. They're the people who are active and they really don't have that good like focus of meditation, just sit and sit still. Where like athletes are like that. Most athletes are like that. They go into a certain zone, you know, they're exercising. And that's a form of meditation, but that's an active form of meditation. You know, where they're just focused on the activity.
Yeah. My fiance is, it's so funny because he's obsessed with running and that's like, he'll run for like an hour or more. And I'm like, why? First of all, and then how?
And how?
And he, when he gets done, it's like he's a different person. And he literally will tell me, I have to run for my mental health. Like it's, but then we talked about it one time and he's like, when I'm down there, because he'll always come upstairs after running and be like, I got to talk to you about this. This is what I was thinking about. And it's like, that is his moment. He's like, everything gets quiet when I run and I can just think about like whatever and really focus on thinking about that. So that makes a lot of sense that that's probably is like, yeah, his meditation. That's fascinating.
I used to do that whenever I was in Kent. I would walk to the, what's it called? The gym? What's it called? The rec center.
You looked at me like I went to college.
I was trying to read it on your face.
Couldn't tell you.
I would walk to the rec center and I would play basketball by myself.
Yeah.
I would do drills by myself because I couldn't sit. Sometimes silence to me is so loud.
Yeah.
Like, screaming loud, and so I have to move, like you said, have to have someone be guiding me. And so I would walk to the rec, I would play basketball alone, like I was in my own kind of movie.
I love that though,
and then I would feel better.
Yeah, exactly, and that's like, you know, it's meditation because, you know, meditation is all about it's all about awareness and consciousness. You know, as we know, we have different waves, you know, wavelengths when it comes to like our brain and brain waves and different states of consciousness and awareness. And, you know, most people always remember like bat, you know, bat D, you know, like beta, alpha, you know, beta, yeah, I think bat D, always get it mixed up. So it's beta, alpha, theta, delta. Yeah, there
got
you go. B-A-T-D, bat D. So those are your different ways. Where beta is like you're conscious, like now, like we're in kind of like just conscious, we're aware, you know, very much aware of what's going on, this conversation. Then the next state would be alpha, where it's a little bit more deeper, where you're aware and conscious, but you're a little bit more focused, a little bit more focused state. And then the more deeper you go, you become just a little bit more an altered state of consciousness. You know, where you're in like mostly like a trance state or a deep trance state. So that's what I do in my work, when I'm tuning into the energy, when I'm tuning to that other level of awareness spiritually, is I'm going to more of the deeper states or levels. So I'm going more into the theta mm-hmm. and delta, you know, brain waves. That's what's happened yeah. because I do so much meditation. So pretty much it's the meditation that the monks do. So this yeah. is the meditation that monks do when they go into silent meditation or deep meditation. They almost go into like a deep trance state, or they go into an altered state, a deeper state. And when you're into those states, you're going to a deeper state of awareness that is your body transitions with that, meaning, you know, your heart rate starts to begin to slow down. Everything begins to relax and calm down. It's yeah. almost like sleep. It's the same thing like a sleep state, actually. When yeah. you sleep and when you're dreaming, you're in those more higher states of awareness or deeper states of consciousness. And so basically for me, I only need 3 hours of sleep or 4 hours of sleep at the most because I meditate so much. And pretty much when I meditate, it's like being in the same state of sleep.
Yeah.
That is blew my mind just now. That blew my mind. Oh my gosh, you would be a fantastic parent because yeah. that's about all the sleep you get.
Yep.
That's what I'm working with today.
So, wow.
I don't meditate, so I'm very tired.
Wait, time out.
Oh yeah.
Let's check and see if we have any sponsors. I never even would think of it that way. But I mean, that makes sense.
And total
I know that from the time that Shane and I had booked the reading with you before we got started, you would say, and I'm assuming you would do this at all of your sessions, that you were going to meditate for a second. And now I know why you were doing that. You were getting into that state.
Yep. I meditate beforehand with every session that I do. I meditate and pray beforehand. Just to kind of get myself ready
yeah.
that state of receiving and awareness. It's like what I call shifting my consciousness or raising my vibration. Because when you're dealing with the spirit side of life, or you're dealing with, you know, the spiritual world, spiritual energies, they're on a higher vibration, higher level of consciousness. So always do meditation beforehand and then the beginning. So I'm prepared. So I'm already in that receptive state of mind where I'm able to tune in into energy and be able to receive more clearly.
Yeah. Wow.
That's so cool.
So good.
Yeah.
I have some other questions from our listeners. This is from Logan. Logan says, is there anything that you've done to help strengthen your connection with the other side? Do you have any advice or anything to share for people who are interested in meeting with a medium or trying to get more in touch with their own spiritual side? I liked the ending of that question because I know that you're not just a psychic medium. Like, yes, you do have those abilities, but you have put so much work in to help people improve their daily life outside yeah. of, you know, connecting with a past loved one.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm a spiritual life coach and healer.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm a psychic medium, but you know, what that incorporates really is being like a spiritual life coach and a healer and counseling people. And I love that question in the way, like you said, that it was put, because first of all, yeah, mediums are great. But you just have to realize mediums are just tools, you mm-hmm. know, at the end of the day. And I never encourage anyone to become reliant on someone else or a source outside of themselves. Mm. I always encourage whoever I talk to become more reliant on yourself, to learn to tap into your own abilities, your own gifts, because we are all intuitive. We all have psychic ability. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you can do exactly what I do to this. I do it, you know, right. because this just happens to be my calling and my life's yeah. purpose. It's like everyone can sing, but not everybody is like the concert singer,
right.
you know?
Right.
you know? Yes. I was going to say.
So, you know, but it's true. You know, we all have an ability of a sensitivity and intuition. We all have that. If you have a soul, you're a human being living in these bodies, you have intuition, because intuition is the voice of the soul. It's your inner voice. And so as a medium, I always encourage people, I say, okay, I'm just a tool, but I'm going to make sure before you get off the phone with me or before you get done with me, working with me, but that you know how to tap into your own abilities. You learn how to go within and you learn how to listen to your own inner guidance, you know? So that I'm yeah. really big, you know, mediums, psychics, intuitives, whatever, you know, they're great, but once they're just guides,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
never ever become dependent on, because there are people that become addicted to it, you know,
right.
addicted to that kind of thing, psychics and mediums, you know, tell me this and tell me that. But at the end of the day, you live your own life and you're in control of your life and you're in control of your destiny. No one else.
I got to introduce you to my sister.
Oh, she is addicted.
She is addicted. But I think she, and I know our family, I'm sure not to the extent, obviously, but like our family definitely has like a connection, I think.
Yeah, with, I would say.
And she's somebody who I think is really trying to get in, like she, that sounds more like what she's trying to do. And I think her reaching out to other people to get like readings and things like that is her trying to connect with that inside of herself. But like, I don't know if she even knows that that's a possibility that she could work on for herself, you know, like,
well, and sometimes I think it all comes down to just how you view yourself and what your motivation is. And I feel like a lot of times my motivation has massively shifted from wanting to be a people pleaser to wanting to be a me pleaser.
Yeah.
Which doesn't have the same ring to it. I'm just here to please myself. You know what I'm saying? But I have found a more intrinsic motivation. Like what brings me joy? What, we were talking about purpose and there, we had talked about this when we were in LA as well. Is that I feel like people get purpose mixed up with job. Occupation. And I truly believe my purpose is to help people.
Yeah, agreed.
And
same.
The medium in which I have done that through has been.
It's always been so different between you and I, but it's always been helping people in some way.
When I was a teacher, I was able to do that. When as a photographer, I'm able to do that. And now, obviously, through the podcast, this feels like the most authentic way for me to do what I think my purpose is, which is to help people.
Yes.
And so I think it's amazing that that's something that you are helping people with, is kind of helping them listen to their own voice and shutting out maybe some of the other voices that have impacted them throughout their life and have guided them in a direction that maybe isn't meant for them.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I'm so big on that. And that's the reason why I do what I do. That's what motivates me, is I always say my purpose, no matter what I do, whether it's healing work, whether it's doing a reading, whether it's coaching, it's always about empowerment. I'm big on that. You know, those are big words for me, empowerment and healing. And so my goal is always, whoever I'm working with, that's just in my daily life, I like to empower people. You know, I like to empower people to know what their potential is, you know, and to realize that you are in control of your life. You may not be in control of the circumstances outside of you, but you're in control of you. You're in control of how you choose to perceive things. You're in control of how you choose to react to things that are happening around you and to you. And by realizing that, coming to that self-realization, it does empower. It's very empowering to the individual to make them realize that, you know what, no matter what's going on in life, I can choose to perceive differently. I don't have to give in to the negativity, to the turmoil, to the pain, to just the low energy things that are happening. You know, the things that we just go through in life naturally, you know, as we're growing and as we're evolving and as we're going through this journey, you know, we all have to go through it and we all experience highs and lows, but it's up to you how you choose to navigate and to experience those highs and lows. You know, you don't have to be a victim.
Yeah. Whenever I started going to therapy, that was something that my therapist brought up. She would say, you know, there's three different types of people who've experienced trauma, and it's victims, survivors, and thrivers. Mm-hmm. And obviously there's nothing wrong with being at any stage of that. But her goal with working with me was to get me to a place where I was thriving. She was like, surviving's great.
Yeah.
You want to be a survivor. I want you to be a survivor. That means you are still here and you overcame whatever has happened to you. But more than that, I want you to thrive.
Yeah.
And that was, I had never heard that before. And it was such a meaningful thing to me to know that I was in control of being able to shift, that I didn't have to stay labeled one of those things in one of those areas for long. I could be, I didn't have to be what happened to me, if that makes sense.
Exactly. Yeah. Like you don't have to let your circumstances define you. Define it. And that's the major difference between someone who feels not in control of their life and someone who feels more a sense of empowerment and control. You realize that, no, I define my story. I define, you know, how I'm going to go about it and where I'm going to go. It's not necessarily, oh, I'm going through this and I have to go through it and I have no other choice. No, you have a choice. And, you know, I always tell people, you know, we're all humans. We all go through the same stuff. You know, we all go through the same, we all experience all the same emotions. We all experience pain, hurt, joy, happiness. At the end of the day, it's just about, once again, who are you? Knowing who you are, you know, and realizing, okay, you know what? There's a thing called free will. And that's a beautiful thing that I have free will. And I can use that free will to make my life better, to improve myself.
Yeah. And I think taking a second to strip off all of the labels that other people have put on you to allow yourself, it's like freeing yourself of the weight of the expectations of other people, whether it be saying like, you can't do that. You're not smart enough. You're not strong enough. You're not committed enough. You're not motivated enough. I literally am so sorry. Was thinking of all the things people have said to you.
I know. I was like, just nodding along. Like, yeah,
because that, like, all right. I have this just, I truly feel like whenever, I feel like I've been following a calling, very much like Frozen 2. Not sure if you've watched it, but Elsa goes off into the unknown.
Yeah,
quite literally. And it's because she's following a voice and realizes it's her own voice the entire time. Spoiler alert. So sorry, everybody.
Wait, there's more to it.
Still watch the movie.
It's a great movie.
But I feel like that's how I've been my whole life. I feel like I've always been following a path. And as frustrating as it's been to have people influence that made me feel like I was doing the wrong thing, I'm happy that I didn't listen. And for you, I'm happy that you stopped listening to all of those people.
It took a while, but
and took back what was always yours, you know? So, again, I think that's amazing that's a, you know, a core part of what you,
because it really does. It changes everything. It changes literally everything. Like, Jerry will tell you, we've talked about it many times, that like I couldn't even leave the house. This is like a small part of it, but like I couldn't even leave the house when I was younger without like being done up, like my hair, my makeup. Like I had to look like that, because what if I ran into somebody and like that's so embarrassing that they're going to see me in my natural state. And like, I don't even think of that anymore. I've put things on the internet for people, the world to see, where I'm like at my rawest. I mean, I've talked about some pretty natural raw stuff on this podcast, and like I would be so embarrassed about that before, but I just now I'm like, who cares?
No,
it's my story and I think it's funny, so
your humanity is your superpower.
It is
your existence is special, is whatever it is. Mm-hmm.
And that's the beautiful thing, like you said, humanity. We're all human beings, and life is about evolution. We're all evolving. So a lot of times, I think this is common in our society, that we get caught up, like you said, in more what we think we should be and the labels put on us, or other people's expectations of us, rather than accepting who we are and realizing that it's okay. We are the way that we are for a reason, but we are constantly growing and evolving and becoming better. And the more that you learn to be at peace with that, who you are, and knowing that you are growing and evolving, things do get better, you know, things do get better, you know, and you don't feel the pressure to feel like I have to do things this way. You do things in a way that are authentic to you and brings you more joy and happiness from the inside out, rather than looking for things on the outside, which will never bring you happiness, you know, and trying to internalize it.
Yeah. Definitely. We have a piece of merch that says make your own pie on it, because my mom and I have discussed this before, where she said when she was growing up, her mom had 8 kids. So my mom was one of 8. And she said that her mom had one slice of pie for each kid, and that was all they got. And my mom thought if she was good enough or worked hard enough or was talented enough that she would get a bigger slice of pie. And I remember looking at her and saying, Mom, I don't need your pie. Like, you don't need to split the pie between me and my sisters. I'm going to make my own pie and you should make your own pie. Stop waiting for bigger slices from other people.
Yeah.
Because
make your own.
You can make your own. And then you don't have to feel less than because someone gave you less than.
Yep.
You know, and then you, if you're giving yours out, you don't have as much for yourself. Thank you.
That's awesome. I freaking love that. I have to remember that. That is like, that is really, yeah.
I'll send you a pie shirt.
Yeah, definitely do that. I would want one of those for sure.
Okay. I'll get your info later. Okay. One, we talked about souls and talking about the other side. Do you, in your experience, are souls something that like recycle?
Oh,
that's a great question. Yes. That's an interesting term, recycle. I would say yes and then no. So okay. The way that I always answer questions is always like on my intuition and my personal experience and also what I feel I'm being guided to say. Okay. And so I say yes, because there is sort of the sense that is never ever completely done with or ever completely demolished or at all demolished or, you know, just disappears. It does in a way, it continues. Mm-hmm. It continues to be, to exist in different forms, in different ways. And so a lot of people don't know this, but so the word psychic, a little bit of education. The word psychic, going back to the Greeks, the core meaning of it goes back to psychikos. And what that means is of the soul.
Oh.
Related to the soul. So the original term where the word psychic comes from, of course, like psychology, is because it's more based on the soul and trying to understand the soul. And then, of course, in time, as you know, humanity developed, you know, and came up with psychology, became part of our modern psychology system. But the word psychic, psychology, all those things, psychic comes and it's related to of the soul, of the mind, meaning the inner being.
Yeah.
Okay. That's so I'm bringing that up just to say is the soul, from my experience, is something that is eternal. It never dies. It's the essence of who we truly are, our being, meaning that the soul existed way before we even came into these bodies, you know, or chose to come into the bodies.
Yeah.
And when we let go of these bodies, the soul will still exist. Okay. That is the eternal part of us that continues to grow and to evolve. And that's really the purpose of why we choose to come into these bodies. This is the purpose why we choose to incarnate on Earth into these, I call them meat suits, meat bodies, you know, these
Me too.
Because that's what it is. It literally is. It's like, you know, life, your personality doesn't end. And this is the great thing about mediumship. People sometimes wonder, like, why would people want, you know, what's the whole purpose of mediumship? Why do people want to talk to dead people? First of all, they're not dead. There's really no such thing as death. Yeah. You know?
Oh, I like that.
Oh, I got chills.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no such thing as death because the soul doesn't die. You know, it continues. It's consciousness.
Does the soul have to pay taxes?
Thank God, no.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Okay, cool. Go on with it.
But it's true. It's like it's consciousness. And when we go back to energy, we know this. Everyone knows this from physics, from science. Everything is energy. We know that. Okay, that's scientifically proven. And that's all the soul is. It's a transcendent form of energy. And as we know, energy isn't created nor destroyed. It just transforms. And that's what the soul does.
Yeah.
It continues and it just continues to learn, evolve through these different lifetimes. As you said, recycle, reincarnation.
Yeah.
The soul just and it keeps coming back. We choose to come back because it's a part of our purpose, our collective purpose, which is to learn and to grow as an individual, to learn our true nature as spiritual beings. That I'm sure you've heard this saying, we're not physical beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a physical experience.
I've never heard that, but I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Wow. Can I ask you something? Right then, at the beginning of the question, you can tell me if I'm wrong. I've been wrong before. I'll be wrong again. But I feel like I can tell when, like, spirit is talking to you and you are kind of like channeling, and when you are now thinking, because like there was part of your response in the beginning where I'm like, I think he's like hearing things right now. Not, I don't know how to explain it, but it felt like you were connecting with someone and they were like guiding you in the question. And then all of a sudden it was like Reggie's back in the driver's seat.
Yeah, it's so funny you're bringing that up because it's true, actually. So just, you know, your sensitivity. You have to okay. It's true. And, you know, this is funny because I think people started to notice at a very early age, especially in school, people would notice this. And I didn't realize until later, people would tell me, they would say, I noticed that you're in a certain zone. People would always tell me that, yeah. Like they see it in my face or the way that I just like my mannerism or how I speak. And mm-hmm. and then I start to realize it after they made me conscious of it. Like, oh, yeah. There's a shift. Yeah, it's true. It's like I've come to the point where I live my life daily, integrated my higher self. Mm. And I think that's just part of my spiritual growth, my spiritual evolution at this point in my lifetime, where I'm very much so aware of my higher self as at the same time aware of my guidance around me. And yeah. So yes, you're right. Like there's a certain point where I would want to say something based on what I think, but I know there's a knowing. Yeah. And there's a higher knowing. And I'm like, oh no, let me stop because I can feel it coming through. And that's called channeling. It sounds like inspiration. So you're exactly right.
Oh, cool. So cool. I was like, okay, either I'm like sensitive or I was someone who's been surrounded by a lot of trauma and I can really pick up on body language and shifts. Either way, I feel like that's a skill.
There you go.
We have a few other questions, but I feel like a lot of times when people send in questions,
we end up answering them.
Yeah, through like, conversation anyway. Yeah. But this is from Emily. Do you have any other spiritual practices you follow or dabble in day to day to help keep you grounded? And I know that you said that meditation is one. Is there anything else that you use to help make sure you're keeping yourself on track? I'm trying to find different ways to ask. I feel like the same kind of thing.
Yeah. No, I get it. I totally understand. So yes, other than just meditation and prayer, which are like my foundational spiritual practices, I just think in general, and this is for anyone, it applies to anyone, is self-care. Self-care. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Taking care of yourself, you know, taking care of, you know, me, making sure I feel good about me. Because if I'm not feeling good about me, I become, like you said earlier, a bit dissociated with, mm-hmm. with my true self, you know, with my authentic self, my inner self. And just making sure that I'm happy, making sure that I have a peace of mind, making sure that I take care of myself, I feel good about myself. I think that would be the other thing. It's just self-care, making sure that I create boundaries in my life, because this is something I had to learn at a very early age.
Right.
When you're so sensitive and you're so in tune, other people needs, you want to give.
Yep.
And you want to help others so much. Mm-hmm. You want to relieve people of their pains. You want to, and of course, as a healer, that's natural for me. It's like, I feel this person's pain. You know, I want to do something. I want to try to take it away. You know, I want to solve other people's problems. But what I realized is that that's not my job, really. My job is not to solve other people's issues or problems. My job is not to take on their stuff. My job is to be a assistant, a guide, a catalyst in people's life, you know, because they have to make the choice to shift whatever is that's necessary for them to shift in their life.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I can't do it for them at the end of the day. And so self-care is like key. Like I had to realize that I don't have to be drained, because of course, at an early age, I would get so drained.
Yeah.
I would get so exhausted, you know, because I would feel so much and take on so much of other people's stuff. And I would be tired all the time and I would want to sleep. And I didn't want to be around people. Exhausting being around people.
Yes. Yep.
I was like, let me just be by myself in my little bubble be safe, you know, and like, you know, not have to do it, you know, the chaos and the, you know, but then I realized it's just about boundaries. It's starting to realize that I am me and they, you know, they are themselves, you know, and realizing that that line that so many people get blurred. Boundaries are so key. Boundaries are so key to be able to say yes and to, when to know to say no and when to kind of say, this is not me, this is them. And so I don't have to take that on and become that.
Yes.
What's really cool is the more we talk, the more I see so much of an overlap between what psychologists will tell you or what therapists will tell you and what you, someone who is a spiritual healer and a spiritual teacher, life coach, are, you're saying this very similar things where boundaries are important, not only outside of yourself with other people or maybe with activities that you do or do not want to participate in, but like within yourself as well. Mm-hmm. And I have a question. When you say self-care, what would you say to people? Because I know we are people, but also we have a bunch of listeners who I would think are these people who feel guilty about taking time for self-care or feeling like they're undeserving or haven't earned the right to do those things.
Yeah. Well, I always say, first, I want to say is everyone has the right to happiness in life, no matter what you've been through or what you've been told outside yourself. Everyone has the right to happiness and to have a peace of mind and to feel good about themselves. You know, I always say it begins with you. It always begins with you. Okay. And so if you find yourself unhappy in life, if you find yourself just miserable or just feeling kind of like just unsatisfied in a way or feeling lost, dig deep, do some soul searching. Soul searching is so key of anyone's journey. If you're here in this life, there's a point in your life where you're going to be forced to have to look within yourself and kind of look at your reality and kind of say, okay, where have I come from? What have I been through? Where am I now? And where am I going? Mm-hmm. You know, who am I? And when you start to get to that, you start to peel back the layers, you know, and to get to the core of who you are and what truly makes you happy. And when you're able to do that, then you can sort of start to sort of push things to the side that aren't really significant or important, things that you've been giving so much energy to that you realize, you know what, I've been wasting time and energy giving energy that it's not necessary. You know, I just need to focus on me and what I need, because inside we have everything that we need inside of us. Mm-hmm. Everything that we need in life is inside us. And when you realize that and you're able to go within yourself and start to change first your thinking, your mindset, because that's where it begins. Whatever mindset that you have, however you choose to perceive the world, that creates your reality, you know, and then you start to get control of your mindset and then you start to get control of your feelings and emotions and find more peace in your heart. That begins to spill into your life externally. Yeah. You know, it begins to shift in the relationships, the dynamics of your relationships, the dynamic of your reality, the dynamic of how you start to perceive yourself. So always say, do some soul searching. Find out who you are. Ask, who am I? Why am I here? What makes me happy? What brings me joy? What doesn't bring me joy?
Yeah. Marie Kondo, your emotional life.
Yes.
Not get just your physical stuff, but the stuff inside too.
Well, and that's what I bringing it back to like the whole self-conscious stuff, which was a very surface level thing that I went through, but it'll work for this example. But when you were talking about meat suits and things like that's what I truly had to like over and over again tell myself. When those voices would come in, it was like another bigger voice was in there that was like, hey, it's just a body. Like, what it doesn't matter. That's not who I am. It's what I'm inside of right now, but like, that's not me.
Yeah.
And I know how much more I have to give and like what I can do for me that inside that like, there's nothing that this can do on that level. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so that's going to make the difference.
It was so funny how like often that voice had to come out and be like, hey, get back in the corner.
Hear the other voices.
Yes.
Exactly. And that's key. That's key for, like you said, you've learned, like you realize like that voice was always there. It was always there. But then you also, you were so caught up in everything else, you know, and it's like allowing that to kind of flood or overcome that voice. But that voice is always there inside of you, guiding you, you know, trying to get you to that point to overcome these things that you needed to overcome. And that's your soul. That's your inner voice. That's your higher self.
Yeah. Ugh, it's that. So cool.
It is.
I'm a very visual person, as we've kind of established. And for me, when I would think about how I was perceiving things, it was almost like I had two filters in my head. One was positive and one was negative. And I had to work really hard to reroute things away from the negative filter so that it would go through the positive one. Because if someone said, "Hey, nice shirt,"
instantly you're like, they're making fun of me.
I even as like in middle school would reroute it to the positive one.
Oh,
even
see, I did it.
See, even if they didn't mean it as a compliment, it became one for me. I heard a compliment. I don't care what you meant it to be.
Our filters were so different.
But I think a lot of, I know several people in my life who could hear that same sentence and it's negative.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter how it was intended. Doesn't matter how it was said. Sometimes it's read in text and it's immediate negative. I refuse to allow it to be negative.
Yeah.
And that's not like me toxic positivity-ing myself. It's me setting a boundary and saying, I don't give you control over how I perceive myself. Sorry.
Yep.
Yeah. That is so true. That is so true. But these conversations, I think, are so key. And, you know, and I know, you know, we're talking about me and my work and the things that I do, but this is a big part of my work, you know, what I do, you know, people see me do, you know, the psychic medium stuff and see me do the readings and things of that nature. But the core of it leads all back to this. It leads back to us getting to know who we truly are as divine beings, as spiritual beings, as souls. And as you said, learning to live a life from the inside out and not from the outside in, because that's how life truly happens. That's how change truly happens. It doesn't happen from the outside in. It's from the inside out, how you choose to proceed and how connected with who you are and why you are and all these things. So, you know, when we ask those big questions and we start to become more in tune with that, and it's a day-by-day process. No one just knows these things overnight, you know. That's why we have a journey. That's why we have this life, you know. That's why we live day by day, so that we can learn. And so I tell everybody, take every experience as a learning experience. Every experience, everything here is here to help you to grow. Life is not against you. It's for you.
Yeah.
You mentioned relationships a second ago, and one of the questions was, how has your abilities or your line of work in general affected your relationships?
Ooh, good question.
That's a good question. So first, I guess I'll begin with family. Or just like family and friends, close associations. I think for the most part, because family accept me and that's never been an issue, thank God.
Yeah.
It's actually improved my relationships with family and friends because I'm so sensitive and I'm so aware. I like to consider myself a very compassionate person, a very loving, caring person, and I love to give, but at the same time I also love to receive love, you know. Give and receive love, and I like to see people happy. And so I feel because of that, I'm very much so aware and conscious of the relationships in my life, and being aware of them and their needs. I'm not a self-centered person. I don't like to make things about me and talk about me. I'm just the type of person like, I want to know about you. You know, like, what are you going through? What are your experiences? You know, if I can be of some assistance, whether that's just lending an ear, just lending ear and just listening, or just like giving some advice, you know, or giving a word of encouragement or a compliment, anything I can do to just help anyone to feel better, to feel good, to help them on their journey so they can continue to evolve and to grow and feel like they're making progress in life. That's what I'm passionate about. So because of that, I mean, people see that. And I always tell people, I just have this thing where I say, if you don't like me, I know it's not an issue with me. It's an issue.
Yep. Exactly. Yep. That's the same with my filter. My, yep. That's the same thing. That's not a me problem.
Yeah, exactly. Because I know who I am.
Yep.
And I know how I treat people, you know.
I also know I'm not for everyone. Yeah. And that's okay. But that doesn't make either one of us wrong.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. Yep. And no one's perfect. You know, no one's perfect. Like, you know, I don't feel like I'm this perfect person, but I live my life every day to be the best that I can be. Yep. You know, I don't think no one was born to be perfect or meant to be perfect. We were meant to be flawed and to grow through our flaws. That's the beauty of our life.
Yeah.
Love that.
So just good.
I think it's especially cool for you and I because we've been recording this for 3 years, and it is very cool for me, especially, like, I don't know about you, but when I go back and listen to the beginning, I'm like, who is that person? Oh, but also I love that because it's like, what was the saying you just said?
I have no idea.
Something about, might not have been you, it might have been someone else. But it was like, if I don't look back on the person I was and get like kind of embarrassed or like whatever, then I haven't grown enough. Yeah. Like I look back and I'm not necessarily embarrassed.
I want to hug old me.
Yeah, but I'm like, aw, girl. And then I have to remember, like, it gets better. Like, oh, just wait. It gets so much better. It's very fun kind of to see the growth, like, splayed out for me whenever I go out and listen to those early episodes.
And see, we had someone recently leave a review, and they said that essentially, like, we lost our charm, and somewhere along the way, they don't like listening to us anymore. And that's fine. For me, I would never want to be the same. And I think that I didn't lose my charm. Maybe my charm just no longer is dazzling to you.
But I know there are people that liked me when I was meeker and wasn't as loud and as passionate about the things that I was, but that's not who I am. That's not, wasn't me being true to myself. It was me in like survival mode from a relationship that was terrible. So if you liked that version of me, I mean, so did the people who wanted me to be quiet, but that's not who I am. Yeah. And so,
and I like this version of
me too.
So.
That's all that matters.
Sorry about it.
Sorry about it. But no, going backwards.
Yeah, that's the beauty of evolution. That's what life is all about. That's what we say. Life is about evolution. It's about growing. If you find yourself stagnant or stuck and feel like you're not growing and evolving, something's wrong. And that means that you need to shift something, because that's the whole purpose of us choosing to have this experience called life on this earth. You know, it's to learn, to grow, and to evolve. You know, spiritually as well as physically. And as you said, that's the whole purpose, you know, and that's the beauty when you look back and say, wow, that's amazing to look back at who I was then and then look now, and you can see that progress and realize that's just one point. I'm still growing and I'm still evolving. And the beautiful thing is it never ends. It never stops.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so cool.
That is amazing.
What would you say? I think this is probably our last question, because I know that I could just keep you on here all day, but I know that you have a meeting.
I know we could talk forever. I love
A very common question was, what has been either like the coolest or most exciting or scariest, just most intense experience you've had now that you have really grown and found your passion and followed your purpose?
Okay, so I'm thinking about that question. So the most like intense or scary, basically, like, I guess they kind of say, like, what are like the highlights or like,
yes, you know, yes,
like, okay, I mean, from the lows or the point of fear, I think I had moments in my life where, of course, I'm a human being and I have fear that sometimes seeps in, but I come to the awareness that fear is not in control of me, and I get control of the fear, and then I release the fear. And that happened very earlier on, coming to my abilities and my gifts. Once again, human beings, we fear the unknown. Mm-hmm, you know, yeah. Like, most people are scared of the dark because it's like, what's in the dark? Is I'm going to jump out? Is the boogeyman with me? Is the monster going to come out? You know?
Right. Yeah. You know? You're not afraid of the dark. You're afraid of what could be in the dark.
Exactly. And most likely there's nothing in the dark. So, most of the time, you've created that.
Yeah. So the scariest thing is up right here.
Exactly. We create our own fear. So there were definitely experiences where, that I would have, for instance, a quick example, when I worked missing persons in cold cases. So the funny thing, most people think I was doing that in college.
I did not know you were doing that.
Yeah.
Because I didn't talk about that because that was just a whole nother level of stuff. You know?
So like, people were using your abilities to help solve cold cases?
I was helping assist with missing person in cold cases.
Wow.
Towards my sophomore year and stuff, so of course I didn't talk about that because that was just a whole another level of stuff, and it's like, how do you talk to somebody about that?
Right.
Yeah,
it doesn't just come up in conversation.
Yeah. Very casual. so one experience I had is because I'm a very strong empath, meaning I feel other people's emotions and feelings, whether that's with people who are living or people in the spirit world, and they impress emotions and feelings on me. And I was working this case in Arizona, and I was actually like on field, meaning I was actually there in Arizona on grounds with the search and rescue team, working with police enforcement, you know, going through the desert, you know, just kind of searching for this person that was missing. Wow. And I started to get these overwhelming feelings and emotions when I was driving in the car, I guess because I was so focused on the case and thinking about the person. But they were negative. They were negative. And they felt like, I felt angry. It almost felt like I was becoming or feeling the emotions of someone who had very negative intentions or just wasn't good, like a bad person. Yeah. And I realized that I think I'm picking up on the person who potentially was a suspect in the case.
Yeah.
That the family is focused on, but because there was no evidence, you know, they couldn't like lock this person up or do anything because, you know, you need evidence for cause. So I start picking up on this person's feelings and emotions, even to the point that a name of a specific place came in mind, like Falcon Ranch, like literally my mind. And I said, you guys know Falcon Ranch is? And the family never even told anyone this. They said, we have a private investigator and we've been having this private investigator follow this person, keep in track of this person. And one of the places that this person is staying, because they would jump from place to place, you know, just is called Falcon Ranch.
What?
I have goosebumps.
I know. I get goosebumps still talking about it today. Like it's, and that just like blew my mind. And at the same time, it was scary as hell. Cause I'm like, oh my God, like I'm in this person's mind. Like
I'm tapped in.
Like a mind of like a, you know, a possible potential like killer. And I'm like, okay, this is like scary. Like, I don't want this. I don't want, you know, I don't want to take that on. I just
hit me out.
You know.
Yikes.
But it went away. Went away. But that was scary.
I mean, you're like, and here he is today. Terrifying.
So that was one like experience. If people are like, what was your most scary experience? That was actually seeing like dead people or spirits. That never really was scary actually for me. It was
especially since you grew up and that was like, not anything normal, to be afraid of. Yeah.
But yeah, like the thought that I could be connected with someone of such negativity, and I don't really feel it's the word evil, but someone who could have that potential of like evil in them to do such a thing. That was a bit scary. And on the opposite spectrum of that, thought my highlight would be my career, where my career has taken me.
Yeah.
Have no idea that it would even take me, you know, in the forefront of, you know, millions of people and audience on national television.
Yeah. When I first saw that you were on Steve Harvey, I was like, oh my God, that's so cool. I was beaming. I was just beaming for you. And what's funny is I shared your website on our Patreon to tell people that you were coming if they wanted to like look up anything before they ask questions. And a picture of Steve Harvey is what pops up. So people are like, is Steve Harvey coming on the podcast? And I'm like, no.
I wondered what that was because we had so many people screenshotting it. Like, are you having Steve Harvey on?
So I don't know if that's something that can be fixed, but when you copy your website and paste it somewhere, Steve Harvey pops up.
Oh, wow. So cool. I have to try that. That's so fun. But yeah, because that was the highlight. That was like the pivotal point of what really kind of, even though, you know, I've been doing this work before, and but that's when, yeah, that was my first, like my breakthrough on television.
Yeah.
You know, like the world is the, and I would have never, ever imagined that that would ever happen, because that was never my purpose. That was never my thought to even want to become famous or,
right.
I do what I do because it's my passion. I love doing it. And it just happened that part of my purpose is to reach people out there on a larger level, which is why I believe that opportunity came to me, so that I can reach people on a wider level, reach a wider audience, and share and do what I do on a wider level to make a bigger impact.
Yeah. Wow, so cool.
Yep.
I'm so happy for you.
Same.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Do you want to tell people where they can find you?
Yeah, you can find me on my website, ReginaldLewis.com. Or thesoulteacher.com. They're both the same website, ReginaldLewis.com or thesoulteacher.com. You can find me on YouTube and on my YouTube and Facebook, Reginald Lewis, the Soul Teacher, and my Instagram and Twitter, Reginald Lewis.
And we'll try and tag all of your stuff as well. So everyone can find you, because this has been great. And I know that so many people have already come to you for your gift, and I hope that so many more do, because it's amazing.
Yeah,
I appreciate you, ladies. First of all, I want to say I'm so proud of you, ladies. You know, I've watched a few episodes, and you know, Jerry, both of you, I'm just so extremely proud of the work that you guys are doing, the service of how you're helping people. You know, like I said, I think at our end goal at the end of the day is service. And I think we all do that in our own special way. And I'm just happy to see you guys embracing your gifts, your talents, and who you are, and sharing that with the world, you know? And so I'm happy to be here. And, you know, I actually look forward to doing this again. So,
Well, I can tell you. Two,
let's do it.
Everyone has been requesting you to read us. Yep. So
they have. Maybe we can set that up. I think we can set that up.
Might have to do that. I'll tell you, I've never had that done for me. Ever.
Never?
Never.
Oh. No.
I know.
I like first timers. I love that. Okay.
Yes.
That'd be very exciting.
I've always had like other people who have gotten readings who have told me like so-and-so said that whoever came through and they mentioned this about you, but never firsthand for me. So it'd be pretty cool.
Well, Reginald 2.0.
Yes.
Coming to you guys.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to do our closing now. So it's going to get weird again. Well, it's not weird, but
we're going to weird it out.
Thanks so much for coming on. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. We love you so much. We will see you next week.
All right.
We're out.
Goodbye.